I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele.
Everything I say and do, I'm just not good. Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. Our country is entering the beautiful holiday season. The smell of turkey and pumpkin pie is in the air. Christmas and Hanukkah are just around the corner. And we finally have a president in the White House who is looking out for us, the American people. But we mustn't forget that there's still people living in this world who yearn for freedom and the right to live their lives their way. I have been getting hundreds of emails from Persians who live under the yoke of the oppressive terrorist regime known as the Islamic Republic of Iran. A lot of these emails have been encouraging me to do a show to highlight their plight, their misery under the Islamic regime. And so I decided to do that. And in the limited time we have, I'm going to give a real brief history of the Persian people and do my best to spread the word about their suffering to my fellow Americans and to all other decent people around the world who care to listen. We're not going to be able to talk about every single atrocity and tragedy because that would take countless hours of time. But people who listen to me will understand. Sometimes a single candle can light up a dark night. Sometimes a single voice, if spoken bravely and loudly, can become the demise of an evil empire. And today in our show, we will be interviewing Lisa, a young American and a Christian who has become an advocate for the long-suffering people of Iran. Yes, there's a lot of good people out there, a lot of truly good Americans who care. But before we continue, I would like to give a personal thanks to the thousands of people all over the world who listen and subscribe to the AJ Steele Show. Because of you, we've reached the top 40 of all shows in America. And if you will continue to support us and spread the word about us, I promise to continue to tell the truth and shed a bright light on our country and on our world. Now, where do I begin? For 40 years, Americans have had nothing but bad feelings and a sense of fear and dread toward the Islamic Republic of Iran, a fundamentalist Muslim government that has been involved in kidnappings, killings, and worldwide terrorism against Americans and other Westerners in the past four decades. Not to even mention the abusing, the jailing, and the outright murder of their own citizens. But many Americans don't realize that modern Iran used to be a great ally of our country during the reign of the Shah of Iran. At that time, he had great relations with America, with Europe, and believe it or not, even Israel. Iran was a very different country then. So what happened? What led to this great chasm between the Iranian people and America? The story of Iran starts at the beginning of human civilization about 7,000 years ago. But true Persia became a force during the reign of Cyrus the Great about 2,500 years ago. He was a great leader and a conqueror who took the world by storm. In some ways, though, he was a total opposite of modern-day Iran in that he was always known as one of the most enlightened rulers the world has ever seen. He championed freedom of thought and religion and encouraged autonomy for non-Persians. As a matter of fact, the Jewish people, until today, have a deep respect to Cyrus the Great for his kindness, for the kindness he has shown them in their time of need. Now, the Persian Empire that he created was defeated 200 years later by Alexander the Great. But the next main event that changed Iran completely was the Muslim invasion and eventual takeover of the land about 1,400 years ago. The country of Iran became and stayed to this day a majority Shia Muslim nation with large groups of ethnic and religious minorities coexisting together for many, many years. Which brings us closer to modern-day Iran. The Iranian people, like many other educated nations, always had a mixture of secular westernized citizens mixed with some Muslim fundamentalists. Now let's jump to the 20th century. In the 1920s, Reza Shah, a secular monarch who sympathized with the West, took over. And in 1953, there was a coup that was supported by Britain and the United States of America, which made his son, Mohammad Reza, the unquestioned ruler of Iran. Now, why is it that the West was so interested in Iran? Always follow the money. The nation of Iran has the largest reserves of natural gas in the world, and the second or third largest reserves of oil. So naturally, every Western oil company and government was extremely interested. Now, the reign of the Shah saw a great period of growth and modernization of Iran. But there were always undercurrents of radical Islam and socialist Iranians who felt left out from the government and the great wealth of their country. And so what happened next was a radical Islamic uprising, which was aided by the hapless and perhaps even complicit President Carter of the United States of America. By 1979, the insane mullah Ayatollah Khomeini has now become the supreme leader of Iran, and the Shah and his many supporters escaped to the US and Europe, while his poor unlucky supporters that stayed there were beaten, jailed, and even murdered. The first thing the mullahs declared was that Iran was now a fundamentalist Muslim nation, the enemy of America, the enemy of Europe and Israel, and the darkness of the theocracy had set in, and the light of freedom was snuffed out. For the past 40 years, the nation of Iran, which has now been renamed the Islamic Republic of Iran, has been repressing its citizens and causing misery around the world. It's been funding terrorist organizations like Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza. It has become the arch enemy of the Western world. And in the process, it started multiple wars, while at the same time, they destroyed the aspirations of Iranians everywhere with this constant war, this strife, and just their plain greed. These so-called pure Muslim scholars stole their country blind. And many of them are currently worth hundreds of billions of dollars each. While their subjects, the Iranian people, are struggling to make ends meet. Now, the rest of the world responded with sanctions, which started crippling the Islamic leadership. And just as they're about to collapse completely, President Obama and the greedy Europeans threw them a lifeline. They released $150 billion and untold amounts of cash in what they called the Iran nuclear deal. Instead of squeezing the mullahs to death, Obama foolishly, or maybe maliciously, just like Jimmy Carter, saved them. Instead of supporting liberty and freedom, he helped the mullahs continue to oppress their own people and to cause mayhem all over. And the world and the Iranian people be damned. That's how he acted. That's what the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Barack Hussein Obama, did. When I was young, my mom told me to watch a movie called High Noon with Gary Cooper. It was an old black and white movie. In the story, a brave sheriff stood up and fought against a whole horde of criminals, and nobody in town stood to help the sheriff. Everyone ran away, and he was left all alone to face the murderers. Enter President Donald Trump, a truly brave and transformational man who is maligned by the media and by the globalists. One of the first things he did was tear up the ridiculous nuclear deal that Obama signed, and he restarted the sanctions on the Iranian mullahs. He not only increased the chokehold on the throat of the Islamic regime, but he vocally started to support the oppressed people of Iran, who broke out in mass demonstrations against their government and who now feel that they finally have an ally in the White House. Now, Trump kept ratcheting up all his sanctions and started to squeeze individual government officials, and they're wounded. But don't forget, a wounded animal is sometimes the most dangerous kind. These mullahs clamped down on the Iranian people like never before, killing hundreds of them, injuring thousands, and jailing untold amounts. And not a peep from anyone. Not a peep from the Europeans. Not a peep from Obama and the former members of his administration. Not one peep from the mainstream media. Why? And then these Muslim psychos started attacking international shipping and oil refinery facilities. And they even took down a US drone. And they justified all of this, including the murder of their own people, in the name of their perverted version of Islam. But President Trump and his administration are holding firm. despite the greedy Europeans and the hateful Democratic Party right here and the media right here in America attacking his every step and basically siding with a murderous regime in Iran and practically hiding all the hideous things they've done. He has not bent. President Trump has not bent an inch. And here at the AJ Steele Show, we will do the same. We will do the same. Just like the movie. It's high noon again, and you're either with the good guys or you're with the bad guys. We will not cover up the truth anymore, and we will continue to support the oppressed Iranians and other oppressed souls all over the world. A single candle can light a dark night, and we will keep that light on. Now, when we get back to the AJ Steele Show after the next break, we have a very special interview you don't want to miss. I hope you stick around. This is the AJ Steele Show.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. We are pleased to introduce Lisa, a Christian American peace activist and a woman who has taken up the cause of freeing Iran from the clutches of the Islamic fundamentalists that have been controlling the country for over 40 years. Lisa has been attacked by left-wing pro-Islam Americans and by government goons all the way from the Islamic Republic of Iran. And for that reason, we cannot use her full name. Lisa, welcome to the AJ Steele Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became so involved in the Iranian cause.
Well, 3 years ago is when I started getting involved. And honestly, as strange as this may sound to some people, it was literally dropped into my heart. Before this, the only thing I knew of Iran was propaganda, which was Iran hates America, Iran hates Israel, they want to blow us off the map and be done with us. And I never really thought too much about it. I was a teenager when the Shah was removed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, teenagers don't pay too much attention to what's going on. I barely remember hearing about it. So 3 years ago, it literally just dropped into my heart, the people of Iran. And I began to look into it and realized how ignorant I had been for so long to clump an entire nation of people in with a rogue government. And just started getting involved on Twitter. It was a gradual, slow process, getting to know Iranians, hearing the different stories, getting to understand what the Islamic regime was about, which is, it's just a web. It's such a web of deceit and propaganda. It's absolutely amazing. But in all honesty, we see the same thing in this country as well. It just reveals itself in a different way. It kind of adapts to culture.
You picked on a very heavy subject. You know, most women, when they're bored, they do some crochet or I don't know, they go on YouTube. But you decided to pick Iran as your cause, huh?
Well, honestly, I didn't decide. I didn't decide. I'm a Christian and God dropped it in my heart. About a year and a half ago, well, probably 2 years now, I literally saw a vision of a huge flood in Iran. And I knew that that was the beginning of the end of the regime. I know it's kind of like, and sometimes, you know, when you have dreams or visions, they can be symbolic of things. And so I had thought, well, maybe it's the people are going to rise up and it'll be a flood of people.
I find that very interesting. There was a man named Joseph in the Bible, and he had dreams about Egypt, and he helped the pharaohs, and he was a prophet, and he became very successful and very admired for his dreams. Maybe you're a modern-day Joseph, a modern-day prophet. Let's follow up with some more questions, if you don't mind. Many people have a misconception about Iranians being Arabic people because they come from the Middle East and they follow Islam. But they're not Arabs at all. Tell me a little bit about the mentality of the Iranian people and about their culture.
Iranians mainly identified themselves as Zoroastrians. The Muslim ideology was forced on them. You know, it's interesting because Iranians that I have talked to in country have told me that they're Muslim, but they don't believe in it.
Correct. Many of the Iranian people that live in the United States and in the rest of the world are born Muslims, Shiite to be exact. But in general, most of them happen to be quite secular, which is why the psychotic Islamic regime in Iran hates them so much and why they all escaped to the West.
Yeah, people cannot. They can tell you you have to be something, but what matters is what you believe in your heart.
That is so true. And it is so fascinating to me that a woman like you, who happens to be a devout Christian, took up the cause of helping these Muslim people in Iran. I find that fascinating and beautiful at the same time. I mentioned that the opening to the show, there was a great king about 2,500 years ago named Cyrus the Great. He was a Persian king, and he was very, very kind to people of all religions, not just the religion of the Persian people. And I think in some ways it is our duty to repay the Persian people for all the goodness their leader and their nation bestowed on the world 2,500 years ago. Now, it seems that all we hear and see from the Iranian leadership is how America is the great Satan and Israel is the little one, and how they're going to destroy us, obliterate the world. Every chance they get, we hear them chanting, "Death to America, death to Israel." In your opinion, Lisa, does the average person who lives in Iran hate the United States as much as we are led to believe, or is there a strong, maybe a repressed undercurrent of people that would like to have peace with America?
Oh, yeah, they absolutely want peace. Every single Iranian that I have talked to, without question, well, make that one. There was one, but he was actually a regime agent. Every single one, the first thing that they have said to me when they begin to talk to me is, "We love Americans and we love Israel."
And, you know, I actually believe that. I have met many Persian people in my lifetime, and I've known many. All kinds, you know, Shiite, Zoroastrians, even Jewish Persians. And they all have a deep love for the West. They don't have the hatred of the West that we always hear about. I was going to ask you something interesting. You said that you talked to some people from the regime. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, in the beginning, I had no idea that was who he was. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of cyber regime bots online. There are a lot that have infiltrated the monarchists. They will come across as being pro-monarchy to gain trust. And it's like I said, AJ, it's a very sticky web of deceit. So this guy, I just had assumed was a monarchist, like he was saying. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, there were little telltale signs of things that he would say that just didn't measure up. He began to show a disdain for monarchists, but very subtly. I tend to listen beyond words of what people say. And eventually, he was pretty much full-blown out with it.
So he was a full member of the Iranian regime, the mullahs and the like.
Well, I believe he was a burnt agent. He was at one point with the intelligence agency in Iran. So, and actually had been in this country in the 90s and set up a foundation, which he was probably using to launder money.
What you're telling me is very, very scary. And it actually happened to us here at the AJ Steele Show. A while back, while we were tweeting and sending out messages against the Iranian regime and exposing their abuse of the Iranian population, someone hacked our Twitter and our email accounts and started sending out racist messages under my name against the United States. And we got banned by Twitter for a while, and we had to go through this big brouhaha. So there's definitely government people, Iranian government people out there who are doing bad things to any individual who dares criticize the mullah regime. The other week, when the big riots started in Iran, the gas riots, the Iranian government shut down all the internet, and we get to monitor how many podcast listens we get and where people are listening from. And we had a couple of listens from Iran. And I was wondering, how is it that people in Iran are listening to the AJ Steele Show? How are they listening to our podcast from Iran if there's no internet? And then a scary, paranoid type thought came to my mind. It could be people from the Muslim regime that are monitoring us.
Well, I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, the deception that's going on, a lot, what I see, a lot of what the regime does, yes, there's violence and they do these horrible things, but the majority of what they do is fear. It's psychological. And if you can capture somebody in fear and use that, you can control them. Fear is paralyzing. And you look at 40 years, and my understanding is that the majority of Iranians are under 40 years old now. So these are people that were not born into freedom. They were born in a society where they go to school and they beat their chests and they're told to mourn for these dead prophets and all these ridiculous things from thousands of years ago. And that does something to the mentality of a child.
The AJ Steele Show will be right back.
You are listening to The AJ Steele Show, where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The AJ Steele Show, we tell it like it is.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets the
Now let's get back to our interview with Lisa.
You were talking about the monarchists versus the current administration in Iran, which is an Islamic-based administration. The monarchists were the people that were involved with the Shah and all the people that support him. And he was deposed, I believe, in 1979. Isn't that so?
Yes.
So let me ask another question. During the Obama administration, many Iranians took to the streets against their government in what they call the Green Movement or the Green Revolution. And President Obama, much like Jimmy Carter, his buddy from a while back, did nothing to support them. And the revolution was crushed. It was crushed by violence and jailings and beatings. What do you think of Obama's capitulation?
Well, we know that he was dealing with the regime. And so not a big surprise, really. Although I think there were other people behind him, I just don't think that man is as smart as he's been given credit for. So, yeah, that even all of that in the politics of these other nations as well that still are supporting the regime have not spoken out even up to today with the protests that are going on. If you remember, Trump had talked about the regime on the campaign trail. He actually had talked about it 30 years ago. So this is something that he is very aware of. So move forward into now. Shortly after he was elected, he was making all these trips to all these countries. I believe part of the reason for that was these countries that are not speaking out need the regime to be in place. They need them economically. Trump is a businessman. He understands money. Mm-hmm. I believe part of the reasons that he went to those countries was to sit down with them and say, look, this is how we can get you off of economic dependence. But even if a country is 10% dependent on another country for their economy, and that 10% is gone, it seems like the economy would collapse, correct?
You're absolutely right. And a lot of the European countries, they get cheap oil from Iran, and that's what they've been doing for years. They've also been selling stuff to Iran, Germany, the French. They've been helping them with their nuclear program, believe it or not. And and that's a big part of the reason why they don't want to let go. Now, let's get back to Obama and John Kerry. We all know that they didn't support the protesters, but they did support the mullahs with their Iran deal. You know, if we listen to the media, all we hear day in and day out is that Obama and those greedy Europeans made an amazing deal with Iran by giving them over $150 billion plus untold pallets of cash in return for them slowing down their nuclear program for 10 years. 10 years. So first of all, what are your thoughts on this so-called Obama nuclear deal? And did you trust the mullahs to follow the rules?
Absolutely not. I would not trust the mullahs with anything. They have their own agenda that's tied to their ideology, and that is the goal. And to trust them with nuclear weapons, even in a slow process of 10 years, that's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense.
And then what happens in 10 years? They're free to develop nukes, right?
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. So you've got the Islamic Republic. They have an ideology. these other countries that are dealing with them, supporting them, trading with them, buying, selling, they need them. There seems to be this mentality of we can control them. But what they're not getting is the regime is like a rabid dog. You cannot control a rabid dog. You can put it on a chain. But the thing is, at some point, that rabid dog is going to want to get off the chain.
Mm.
And this is what we see. They will play the game. The mullahs will play the game to get what they want. But there's no sincerity in that. So these European countries that are playing this game with them, there's an arrogance about them that they tend to think they can control this situation, and they can't. Look at how far the reach the regime has in the entire world.
Mm.
They're everywhere. They're in South America. They're in Canada. They're everywhere. So I just wanted to add that as far as the border thing going on in our country,
mm-hmm.
it's very rarely talked about. We talk about illegal aliens coming in, drugs coming in, gangs coming in. Very rarely do you hear terrorists coming in. This is huge. This is a huge issue.
You're making great points, Lisa. But some of this stuff has changed recently. And recently I'm talking about is 3 years ago. We got ourselves a new president, President Trump, who basically tore up that pathetic capitulation nuclear deal. And he restarted painful sanctions on Iran. He's saying that he wanted a better deal. What do you think about President Trump's actions, which were decried by the whole European nations, the Democrats here in America, and many, many others?
Does it surprise you that they're decrying it?
I guess not, Lisa.
I mean, really. It doesn't surprise me at all. They're greedy, and they have need, and they want to fill that need, and basically to hell with everybody else. You know, we have a president that finally truly wants the best for the people of the country, not for himself. He is forward-looking president, but he sees that for the entire country as a whole, not just for his own name.
I think President Trump realizes how much danger our country is in and how many different actors all around the world don't want what's best for America. And a lot of people don't like that. The swamp doesn't like that. The deep state doesn't like that.
Mm-mm. No, they don't. You know, going back to Iran again, when you go back to the time of Shah, and a lot of Americans don't know this. I did not know this. America, Israel, and Iran were very tight allies. We had our military over there. All three countries trained together. That in itself, I think, was unnerving to other nations that wanted to be more in control, because you basically had three powers. You had a very rich Iran, you had a rich, healthy America, and you have a rich, healthy Israel joined together in the Middle East. And I think that was a dangerous scenario for the powers that be, quote unquote.
So that's exactly it. And by the way, Britain was very involved with Iran, too. As we all know, Iran has some of the largest oil reserves in the world and some of the largest natural gas reserves in the world. So a lot of the people were in there to make money, but some people were there to create a new Middle East. And I believe the Shah of Iran, he started a thing called the White Revolution, which was supposed to get the country to become a part of the 20th century. Now, let's jump to a different subject, something that's very, very near and dear to a lot of Persians today in the world. There's mass demonstrations happening in Iran as we speak. The government shut down all the internet access to over 80 million people. And untold thousands of freedom-loving Iranians have been killed and injured by the government goons. And this uprising, it started over the doubling of gas prices. But now it's a revolution against greed, corruption, and the constant warmongering of the Islamic leadership. You know, it seems to me, and maybe you can enlighten me on it, that the average Iranians are sick and tired of being oppressed. And they're angry that their money is being spent to fund terrorists like Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis in Yemen, and Assad in Syria instead of building their own country. In some ways, just like us here in America by voting for Trump, I think the Iranians are saying Iran first. What do you think about that?
Absolutely agree. I think they've been saying that, but I think because of what happens psychologically, and especially I really think that with Obama in 2009, they were saying in the streets, Obama, are you with us or against us? And there was silence from him. So I think that that may have actually caused some mistrust in the American government. Also due to the fact what Jimmy Carter did in 79. So on top of their own government, the Islamic Republic, filling them with fear and propaganda. So I think with Trump, so many people, when I first started talking to Iranians, told me they love Trump. They love Trump. They're now he's a hard man to read unless you really pay attention. He can be very crass and he basically speaks his mind, which personally, in my opinion, I like that. I would rather somebody blurt out the truth. I don't care how hard it is to hear some things you need to hear, especially when the country's been in a coma. So I think that they have seen new hope with Trump being in office. The fact that the first Persian New Year, he actually put a statement out acknowledging that, and it was in Farsi. Huh. When Obama did it, he did it in Arabic. And I was told by Iranians that they totally rejected Obama's New Year greetings because it was in Arabic, that it showed them the position that he stood.
That is very interesting, Lisa. You know, our fake news media, they always believe that President Trump is a racist and that only white nationalists and Nazis support him. But I know many Persians and I know many people in other countries, downtrodden countries that are looking for freedom who love President Trump. I don't think the average Persians hate President Trump, do they?
No, no. Now, I have talked to some that they get very concerned when he says something. For instance, when he was in Japan, and I think it was the first time that he said something along the lines of the regime changing its behavior. And that tended to disturb some of the Iranians that I know. Because I think, well, most of them literally want him to come out and say that he supports Shah, that he definitely wants the regime to go. And I try to gently explain to them that he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. So it's a matter of, and then they tend to kind of calm down. But like I said, I believe that part of that is just because of the fear, the lack of security that they've had to live under.
This is the AJ Steele Show.
AJ Steele, not right, not left, just right.
We're back with Lisa on the AJ Steele Show.
You're absolutely right, and I agree with you. I think many Persians that I know and you know, they're monarchists, and they want the monarchy, the Shah's family, to take over Iran when the Muslims are defeated. But in my humble opinion, it should be the choice of the Iranian people who live over there. It should be their choice as to who governs them. And we absolutely want to kick out the Muslim fundamentalists, but we want the Iranian people to choose what's right for them and what kind of leadership they want. And if they choose the monarchy, good for them. But that might not actually happen. And I think some Persians here in the United States of America and in Europe and in the West in general need to acknowledge that. They need to acknowledge that the Iranian people must have their true voice heard.
Absolutely.
I also think that President Trump's number one goal is to take care of the American people, not the Iranian people, not the Middle East, not Europe, not South America. And I think he has to play the diplomacy game. He can't just come out and say, we want regime change in Iran.
Yes, I would totally agree with that, because I can guarantee you that Trump wants regime change, but will never come out and say that because of diplomacy. And I believe the other reason is this, because of the history that America has with the dealings politically in Iran, it cannot even appear in the slightest that we had anything to do with regime change, because it would be seen as illegitimate. And it is very important for the future of Iran, for the people to know that their government is legitimate, that they legitimately chose their government. They were not placed there. They were not undermined in some way. So, as you said, the main goal at this point should be get rid of the regime. Sort out the details later. There will be a referendum. Let the people vote. Who will be in power? I don't know. Personally, I do not support any particular person. I understand the monarchists, and I understand the reasons that they want Reza.
You know, Lisa, I think you made an excellent point, because a lot of Iranians, especially the Muslim Iranians and the socialist Iranians, were very upset because they felt that the Shah was put in power by America and England in 1953. And your point about Trump not interfering is an excellent one, and it's well taken.
Good. I hope so. But I truly believe that that's why he is not saying anything. Like I said, he is a forward-looking man. I think he has calculated things very well. I think he gets very good intel. He's placed the right people that he trusts, at least for now.
It's very hard to tell with him, because you have all these swamp creatures that are out to get him. And right. We never know when the next shoe is going to drop, do we?
No, we don't. We don't. But I have noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, he hires the best people for the job at the time. And when he's done with them, he's done with them. They've finished their job. And I mean, really, is that any different than any of us? He gets totally degraded for that and put down. But I think it's very smart. It's smart move. You know, you want the best people at the time for the job that's necessary.
Versus the swamp creatures that worked there for 30 and 40 years and they can't handle any kind of change.
And out of touch.
Correct. Now, many people thought that President Trump showed weakness by not responding to the provocations from Iran. You remember when they downed our drone and then they attacked Saudi Arabia, the oil refineries over there.
Yep.
But knowing the history of the region, I know that lack of military action is always looked upon as a weakness. But President Trump is not necessarily weak. He did ratchet up the crippling financial sanctions on Iran. I'm personally on the fence, and I'm willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt. What are your thoughts? Should we attack them?
Well, I think one of the things you said is a clue that in that region, they see not responding back as weakness. Is it not possible that Trump completely understands the mentality of his enemy and is using that against him?
You know, you may be right. Maybe President Trump is trying out a strategy that's never been tried before. Just the other day, I was in my studio recording some PR pieces for the AJ Steele show, and I heard a loud commotion outside, and I looked out the window, and I saw a hawk that took down this blue jay, and the blue jay was chirping like crazy, and I ran out to see what was going on, and the hawk had the blue jay in its talons, and it was squeezing the life out of it. It wasn't pecking, it wasn't biting, it wasn't jumping around. It was just squeezing the life out of it very slowly. And it was a very sad sight, but I didn't want to interfere because it's a part of nature. Is it possible that that's what President Trump is doing to Iran? That he's just squeezing the Muslim regime slowly until they suffocate completely?
I would agree with that. And then you also have to look as far as military goes. It was quite interesting to me that so many anti-war people, when this stuff happens, were suddenly, oh, we need to go after them. We need to do this. We need to do that. With no thought, that region could get very volatile very quickly, because we're not looking at just attacking Iran, but what about the countries that are supporting them?
Mm-hmm.
What about Russia? Would China get involved? It could be a huge mess. And quite honestly, why sacrifice American lives when there are other ways to do this? The sanctions are working very well. I do not watch any news. I don't even watch Fox News. I haven't watched the news in years. But when I see from the Treasury Department, I believe it's the Treasury Department that puts out the sanctions list, they have ratcheted them up to, first it was material goods. It has gotten to the point where now we are sanctioning individuals within the regime. So the stranglehold is getting very, very, very tight and getting closer to the head. The head is going to pop off.
You know, I like the way you're talking. You have a woman's touch to your anger, and I love it. I have one question. You said you don't watch the news, you don't watch the TV, you don't do anything. You do listen to the AJ Steele show, right?
Yes, I do. Of course.
And that's all you need, okay?
Yep, that's it.
Now, many people don't know that there's about 500, there's half a million Iranians who live here in America. And believe it or not, I went to school with many of them right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. They seem like regular American kids to me, not Islamic fundamentalists, not terrorists. Most of them came here in the late 70s and early 80s. Tell me a little bit about the community here in the USA. Why did they come here in such large numbers? Are they patriotic Americans? Or do they have an allegiance to the Islamic Republic of Iran?
The Iranians that I'm in touch with that are in this country are very patriotic, very patriotic. They still love their homeland, but they are absolutely not in agreement with the regime. They want to see them gone just as much as in-country Iranians do. And I would assume that a lot of them would even want to go back to Iran, which quite honestly, it's sad because there are so many intelligent Iranians that have fled Iran all over the world that are scientists and engineers and doctors and doing great things for other countries, but can't in their own country unless they work for the regime. And that's a very sad thing to me.
I think the greatest minds, the greatest business people, they all fled because Islam suffocated them. We keep talking about suffocation, but that's what they did to their own citizens. And that's very, very sad.
Yeah. And even the schooling. One young man that I talked to is in his second year in university in Iran. And I asked him, well, how is the school? And he said, not good. I could get better school. Even the schooling, it's such a low level.
Of course. I think anytime you have a religious fundamentalist, any kind, but especially in the Islamic world, the schools suffer because, you know, the modern world can live with religion. It's okay to be a religious person and to care and to believe in God and to follow the morality of the Bible. But it's not okay just to follow that because there's a whole world out there. And all of these Iranians are missing out on that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then the problem, too, I mean, when you look at it just at a basic level, any type of religion, when you incorporate your government based on religion, you have men's ideas involved in that and their own interpretations of things. Look at what Democrats are doing to our Constitution, reinterpreting and trying to change. And that's not, quote unquote, a godly document. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So our founding fathers knew exactly what they were doing, not mixing religion and politics.
And government, for that matter.
Yes, yes, government.
We will return for Lisa's thoughts on America and her personal wish for Iran.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wise. Because he tells it just like it is. Your love belongs
to me. Thanks for rejoining the AJ Steele Show for Lisa's final thoughts.
You know, Lisa, you sound like a real patriotic American. And I'm going to change gears just for a quick second. We're coming to the end of our interview, and I want to hear your opinion. What are your fears for our country, for America?
Honestly, AJ, I don't have any. I really don't. I see the mess that's going on, but more than that, I see the good that's happening. Over all of the propaganda and all of the lies and over the Democrats having fits and the liberals having fits, I just kind of see above that. Our country's going to be fine. It's very important, and I think that Trump realizes this as well, that he must win in 2020, because if a Democrat takes office in 2020, they will undo everything that he's done. Anything that they can undo, they will undo. And so I think that it's very important for him to win in 2020. He's done a lot economically, military-wise. He's done a lot of the outer things, but as far as the in-depth with the swamp, there's still a big mess there. It still has to be cleaned out. And that just cannot be done in 4 years. I mean, we're 3 years into this and they're screaming like demons being exorcised right now, you know?
And it took 50, 60 years to create the swamp that we're dealing with right now. I do think that if there's any man that can do it, it's President Trump. And I do admire his strength of character. And just to say that simply, his balls. He's got big balls. We all know that.
He does. Yep. Yep. Wrecking balls.
That's a better way to do it. Lisa, is there anything else you'd like to add before we close this great interview? Any other dreams or wishes you have for Iran?
Well, my personal dream, and I know it will happen one day, is to walk barefoot on the soil of Iran. That is my personal dream. I was raised in the church, and you're kind of taught, you know, you pray for Israel because the scripture tells you that, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so my dream had always been, I just want to go to Israel one day. And yes, I would eventually like to, but Iran is on the top of my list. Iran is in my heart. The people are in my heart. I would love to go and see a free Iran. And it'll happen. I have no doubt it'll happen.
You know, Lisa, that's a wonderful wish, and it's very beautifully said. Thank you so much for coming on the AJ Steele Show.
And to all of our great listeners, I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. If you enjoyed this show, don't forget to subscribe to us and to spread the word. This is the AJ Steele Show. I wish you all the best.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl. All I really want to be. All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl.
The AJ Steele Show. Copyrighted 2019.